broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues. This is indeed the broadcast for July the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour two at two. The goal always remains the same. We're steady as a rock to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders. And boy, does it take personal morality and to create government accountability. That's the key, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. We also have well-known anarchist. Anarchist is not what you think, folks. They're not just for destruction and meltdown and confusion. An anarchist simply believes that the private sector, free negotiation of contract and your own free will to defend yourself and to protect your own life, liberty, and property is superior to the view of government doing that on your behalf. Why? Because they claim governments always run amok. And you know what? I find it incredibly difficult to argue against their valid points. But whether you agree with the minimalist style of government like the Constitution and pure application of the supreme law and the primary function of government to protect life, liberty, and property, that's our view, or Becky Akers' view, which is she can take care of herself better than government can take care of her, both are worthy goals. And both, you know what, we got so much to work on together before we even discuss those details. In terms of reducing the size and scope and belligerence and of government, man, we got so much to work on together. It's beyond imagination. Have I fairly characterized it, Becky? Welcome, by the way.
Thank you very much, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege. And yes, that's a pretty fair characterization.
I know it's a summary. I get that, but
yeah, I just don't see it. And genuine anarchists, and let me clarify that is many people, because of the confusion from calling communists anarchists, and of course communists cannot be anarchists. They need an incredibly powerful government, because the entire philosophy of communism relies on unreality, okay, on forcing people to do something human nature will not do. Communism relies on all of us just taking what we need and yet working our hardest so that everybody else can benefit. That is not how humans are constructed. We labor hard for our benefit and the benefit of those we love. When we take that incentive away, anytime you tell someone, whatever you earn is going to go into the common pot, it's not yours anymore. Every time that's been tried in human history, it has utterly, disastrously failed.
And really, the element of failure in that is this idea of force, right?
Exactly. We had an instance of it in our own history when the Jamestown colonists came. They started off with a communist system. Everybody worked for the good and benefit of the whole colony. Tiny one that they had established at that point, a couple hundred people, if that.
Yeah, that way Kurt and Becky can work real hard and I can kind of just kick it on back and enjoy the fruits of their labors. It's fantastic.
That's precisely what was happening, Sam. Precisely. And some of the soldiers that had come with the colony figured they were just too good to do manual labor out in the fields. And so they sat around playing cards and drinking, and the other colonists rightfully resented this. And,
I'm too good. I'm way too good.
And they protested against it, and eventually they had to admit this does not work. We've had other examples throughout history. It always angers me, Sam, when people will cite Acts in the Bible, the Acts of the Apostles, and they'll cite the passage that talks about how the early church held everything in common as though that justifies communism. And we have to always remember that was a voluntary association. You allied yourself with that group, and that is the rules of the game, and that's how you lived, and there was no force involved. If you didn't want to do that, you didn't get subsumed into that group. Okay?
But also, the all things in common based on the volunteer system assumed a few things, and that was that everybody would have accountability to a greater source of authority, in this case, Jesus Christ, which compelled people to behave in a manner, in other words, to be self-governed, to say, hey, It's not right for me to let everybody else carry the load while I slough off my responsibilities. It's not right for me to take advantage of somebody because of their words or their naivete. And so there were moral guidelines that governed their agency and voluntarily involvement that ensured that it wasn't a problem. And those who did not pull their weight eventually were required to leave that society as well.
That's exactly right. To try to compare voluntary private charity with the force and violence that government brings to bear in compelling people to share everything in common is comparing apples to nightmares, apples to Venus. There is no comparison whatsoever.
There's a fine line, though, and that's what creates the misunderstanding, huh?
You know, I would quibble with you over how fine the line is. I think there's a huge difference when you see prisons and shacks.
Hold on. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference if you decide to learn and dig. No question about it. I mean, it's absolute night and day, black and white, no question. However, if you're ignorant, though, you kind of think it's the same, right? See, that's where they play the game.
That's how the rulers play us against each other, is that, you know, not making the distinctions, dumbing people down in public schools, that sort of thing. But communism requires a very strong central government. It will never get to that point that Marx talked about where we just do away with the state and we don't need anymore. As long as you are going to compel people to contribute what they earn to a common pot.
And to prove the point, at the heart of this discussion, Becky Akers, is this. You and I would say men and women have the ability by choice to get together, to form a family, to have a husband and wife with complete fidelity, to bring children into that marriage if so desired. And that's the blessing of society. The children are given to parents by an almighty creator, and that's the Lord's way of liberty and choice and freedom. Government, if you go look at the Communist Manifesto, would say, hey, you got to bring male and female together, not based on anything but making a baby for the government. And then they're going to put the people together. The only people that are really allowed to have sex would be those who are, quote, desirable in their attributes to create the next generation of workers for the state. And it sounds very crazy, but love has nothing to do with it. And sex isn't even really, it's fine if they enjoy it, as long as the only people that do it are the people that would be selected based on eugenics for the benefit of the state. People like Sam Bushman that are blind, by the way, would not be able to make any babies at all. Now, I have 8 children and they can all see. That's another discussion. I'm just making a point, though, that they, with an absolute iron fist, rule the heart of what we would call the family. But when they do it by force, it's really government and family pervertedly merged together at the expense of everyone.
Sam, the Nazis actually put that into practice. Many people don't understand this about Nazism. It's nothing more than communism. It's just a slightly different emphasis on how the state will manage things. But the Nazis actually put through a eugenics program in Nazi Germany. Now, everybody understands and knows about the concentration camps and getting rid of the Jews and all that sort of thing. But beyond that, there was positive encouragement for good Aryans to breed. Hitler set up a number of homes for unwed mothers. There was no stigma attached. He wanted to do away with that. If you could get a good German man to impregnate you, the state would take care of you, and then your child would be raised by the state. So this is very much a goal of communists worldwide, to turn everything and every part of our lives, our children, everything, you turn it over to the state and allow the state to control it. And again, this is why no communist can ever be an anarchist. You need the state to do all this, okay? As an anarcho-capitalist, which is the term a lot of people have invented and gone along with to portray the differences between an anarchist such as I am versus a communist, an anarcho-capitalist says the state is entirely evil. It is the domain of Satan. We do not want, need, or should have anything to do with the state. It is entirely evil. So that is the difference, and you encapsulated it very well in your introduction. Thank you.
And I want to point this out, though. Guys like me, though, because I'm a blind person, would not be allowed to have, number one, sexual relations, but nobody would be allowed to have relationships based on love and mutual respect and volunteer free associations, right?
Usually in a communist society or in any society that wants the state in charge, there are going to be lists of undesirables Often those undesirables are people who are physically imperfect in some way. But even more important, Sam, I think, aside from the blindness, I think a far greater concern of the state would be your views, okay? We are all...
Yeah, not only that, a blind person with a defect with views like that, I mean, there's so much wrong with that guy, he shouldn't even be allowed out of the four walls.
I just saw an interview this morning with Wesley Clark in which he said, people who do not agree with the government need to be rounded up and put in camps. We did it in World War II. We need to do it again. Okay?
We're already in the IRS camp, ladies and gentlemen. It's just virtual, but its tentacles are just as abusive. Ladies and gentlemen, Becky Akers riding shotgun today on the broadcast. She's a well-known author and a writer. She writes on the TSA often, and she's got several novels to her credit as well. Hang tight. Get your pen ready. Details in seconds on your favorite talk show.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
And this broadcast is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. When you want to buy products from Patriots, do business with the good guys, and thank Joyce Riley and crew for their support. Thepowermall.com. Tell them Sam and Kurt sent you. That's thepowermall.com. Do business with the good guys today. All right, Becky Aker, our guest, and Becky Akers is the author of two books. They're revolutionary new novels. Buy them before they're banned. In Google, type Becky Akers. Hailstorm is one book about Nathan Hale. Incredible patriot, by the way. The second one is Abducting Arnold. The true details about Benedict Arnold. Most people think he's just a thug traitor, and that's the perverted history. Was he perfect? No. Did he have a lot more redeeming qualities than the mainstream press and your government school history class wants to tell you? Oh, yeah. Abducting Arnold. Check it out today. Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold, or Becky Akers, Hailstorm. And check him out. All right. So, Becky, we're talking about this idea that, hey, they don't want any imperfect people running around like blind people making babies. But they also would hate me for my views even more so than being blind. You put those two together and, wow, it's almost a death sentence on the spot. But they don't want anybody to have normal relationships in these type of societal perversions, Becky.
That's absolutely correct, Sam. Government is society's enemy. I always use the word government and state interchangeably, but I use them to mean that fear of the world or our lives in which force is used to gain political ends. Okay, you can have force and violence from an independent thief. He comes along and mugs you and uses force to take your money from you. He doesn't have any ulterior political end other than his own survival. Then you have politicians and bureaucrats. They come along and they do the exact same thing the individual thief did. They just do it in suits and with laws and with regulations and with bullies that come and throw you in jail if you don't give them your money. Okay, so we've got the sphere of...
And they run around with this lie that somehow they have eminent domain on that reality that, well, it's not normally justifiable, but for their ends it is, right?
Yes, that's another thing I really detest about government is the double standard. We can do things you can't do, and we can do them with impunity. So I use that term government or the state interchangeably to refer to that sphere of violence and force that a select group of people feel entitled to use against the rest of us. And society, I use to depict that area of life in which our interactions with one another are voluntary. I go into a supermarket, I don't have to go in there, I don't have to buy anything once I'm in there. If the market gains my approval and wins my friendship, I give them money and they give me in return something I very much want. Totally voluntary, no force involved.
They call it an equitable exchange of value, just to state it another way.
Thank you. That's absolutely excellent. So we have that equitable exchange. That's society. Another way to look at it, Sam, is to understand how we interact with each other. Okay, there are two basic forms of interaction. One is voluntary. Usually both people are in the situation because they each benefit from it. Okay, let's look at a very simple one, such as a mother and a child. The child is in the situation because she benefits. Now, she may not have given her consent willingly, but she is benefiting from her mother's love, and her mother is in the situation because she benefits from taking care of the child. She enjoys it. She wants to love the child, to sponsor the child, to guide the child through life. Okay.
And by the way, though, governing that relationship is a moral sense of responsibility.
Yes, absolutely. Although not always. We know mothers that have no moral sense of responsibility and still may take care, you know, like prostitutes, that they will still care for their own children. So my point is simply that in this sphere, we have mutual benefit that goes back and forth, and each party is getting something out of the relationship. There's another way we can interact with one another. We can interact by force. Okay. Generally, our interactions are going to be governed on one of these two planes. They're going to be either forceful or they're going to be from love and benefit. When we enter the realm of force, one party is always at a disadvantage. If he could, he would walk away. He wouldn't take part in the situation because he doesn't have any advantage. It hurts him and harms him. That is what government does. When you say, I want government to do XYZ, I want government to control the borders, I want government to give health care to the people who can't afford it, I want government to do all these wonderful things, you are essentially saying, I don't want love and mutual benefit. I want force, death, destruction, jails, shackles for everybody who disagrees with me and for the great majority of people that won't go along with me.
And you can add to that regulations, fines, harassment, and eating out of the substance, as the Declaration of Independence calls it. Now, I agree with Becky for the most part, and I don't bring this point up for an argument, but I do bring it up to kind of point out a little bit of the difference between Becky's views and, say, my views or Kurt's views, for example. I do believe that limited governments are instituted among men by the consent of the governed for their benefit. And I believe that governments can, if following God's laws, in other words, God's laws are key here, be beneficial. And there's a very fine line there about when government becomes predatory. In other words, if government's in a defensive posture to protect life, liberty, and property, to create an equal playing field, to do some very basic things, to prevent a greater force from destroying all of our freedoms and agency, then that government has some degree of legitimacy. And, you know, Bastiat's The Law breaks down this kind of line in this kind of understanding of a defensive government versus an offensive predatory government. And so I would say that, that minimal government does have biblical reality. God does have interest in the affairs of men. And so there is some benefit to that. What the anarchist would say, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I am trying to fairly articulate the position, because I don't entirely disagree with it, is the point. However, that would be this. Well, that fine line's neat salmon in the imaginary world, but they always cross it, and they always will, and therefore your whole idea is flawed. And there's value in that thinking as well. And then I would come back and say, well, the other side of the issue is, hey, the total anarchist view, where everybody's on their own and free to do anything they want to do in terms of negotiate for themselves, etc., that creates a vacuum where power, where the evil eventually will triumph. And so there's a balance there. And the debate is which view is correct. And I think some of both sides of this discussion have real application for discussion, for ponder. And we certainly need to implement as much of both as we can. Kurt, do you want to add anything to that? You primarily haven't had a chance to chime in here. I'm convinced that Becky's got a lot of valid points, and what she says, sad to say, has truth to it. And the point, though, is that I do believe there is a space for limited government where it would be satisfactory to God, where it wouldn't just be predatory and satanic necessarily. The problem is when the people are immoral, they'll never be able to hold that line. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a great point. And, you know, the key thing, I guess you could say, you know, full disclosure here, Sam and I, you know, we have some beliefs that are based on what we believe God has said to, you know, living prophets today, like in the times of old, Noah, etc., Moses. And Becky doesn't believe those same things. And so that's why we have, you know, some of this different look at it based on what those prophets have said.
Hey, that's part of it,
God
sure.
has set this thing up, and, you know, it's intended to have this basic foundation. Now, it's pretty basic. It's a constitution.
Well, and that,
not,
I think, hold on, Kurt,
all this
just really quick, that I think is
seen.
Where the point is well taken, that it's very basic indeed, and the amount of government that you and I would accept, Becky would probably be pretty comfortable with too when you really get down to it. Becky's point, though, would be is, hey, governments always cross the line. They always run predatory. They always go belligerent and reject the defensive posture and go into an offensive mode. And governments always run amok. And my response is, when the people are immoral, there's no question that happens. When the people are moral, I don't think that necessarily happens. When Jesus Christ comes back for his millennial reign, I submit they'll only be good people, and they will indeed listen to their king. All right, quick pause. We'll talk about it. We'll give Becky a chance to chime in as well, and Kurt can finish his comments. We'll do it all in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
No doubt, Sam kicks off the second hour. An immoral philosophical discussion ensues, that's to say the least. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Becky Akers, well-known columnist and novel writer. Yeah, two incredible novels. By the way, you got Hailstorm about Nathan Hale, and you got Abducting Arnold about Benedict Arnold. Now, you were working on a third novel as well, Becky. Where are we at on that?
Well, we're still researching. I'd like to set it in World War II, but I have discovered that a world war fought on many, many theaters with virtually every country in the world involved in some way or another, with multiple governments conniving and massacring millions and millions of people. There's just such a large scope, I'm still on the research phase. So,
And that's where Becky, in all fairness, would say, Sam, I appreciate your Pollyanna view about a defensive role of a limited government and stuff. And I share that, you know what, that would be a wonderful thing, but it isn't historic or reality. Governments go nuts. They murder people. And when you weigh your idea that we ought to give them an inch, before you know it, they take a mile. And then the immorality of their abuse and their hostility and the death and destruction just... Sam, I get your Pollyanna view, but I just can't go there. Would that be a fair assessment?
You know, Sam, if I hated the state before my research on World War II, I really, really hate it now. The atrocities that everyone knows about are just the tip of the iceberg.
I don't know if you know, but Ron Paul just released a new book called Swords into Plowshares, by the way.
Yes, yes. And I don't know if he touches on World War II. I think I saw something about it. I haven't read the book, but I read a review very quickly, and I didn't retain a whole lot of the review, but I think he does touch on World War II. But just the fact that the United States government willingly turned over half of Europe to Stalin when his butchery was notorious, the fact that the New York Times glossed it over and covered it up, the fact that anyone gives any credence to the New York Times thereafter, the fact that there were not mass, large-scale riots in the United States against such a barbaric atrocity. This is what.
Well, and the fact that we knew about a first strike and virtually participated in letting it happen to change the viewpoints of the American people is criminal.
No, it is absolutely. If you hate the United States government for no other reason, you ought to hate it that it condemned millions of people, including the Poles. Okay, Is everyone aware of the role that Poland played in the Second World War? Okay, Britain and France both had pledged If Hitler invaded Poland, they would come to Poland's defense. They didn't. They couldn't militarily. That's fine. But then you don't turn around 6 years later and cede Poland to another communist dictator who slaughters people. Let's recall that Stalin slaughtered Polish officers in the Katyn Forest. Okay, 5,000 there, 10,000 more whose remains were never found.
What do they call that, Uncle Joe?
That is directly attributed to Joseph Stalin, okay? And both Stalin and Hitler looked on the Poles as inferior slave fodder. The only thing they were fit for was taking back to your own country and working them to death in conditions that any humane person has got to say that just sickens me, okay? Yet we cooperated with that. When Poland fought on our side, any Polish officer that could get out did and enlisted with Britain and the United States. Okay, there were Polish officers that fought for Poland's freedom. And FDR and Truman stabbed them in the back. Stabbed them in the back. These people are fighting to live free of communism. And the U.S. and the Allies sold them out. That alone should condemn the U.S. government.
Those historical facts are reality, ladies and gentlemen, and it's hard to argue against them. And I do know this. And the Bible would teach us to beat our swords into plowshares as well. And the military-industrial complex is certainly part of the problem. But again, it's immorality that allows governments, evil governments, to get above men, create secret combinations or conspiracies, whatever you want to call them, to destroy liberty everywhere. And if people are involved and eternally vigilant, which is what it would take for a true anarchist to have their way, too, you'd have to be absolutely involved in the protection of your liberty at all times. It requires that even with a very minimal government. So either way, and the point that I'm getting at is, whether we adopt your view or our view, Becky, they're very close together, and it would require active Americans to jealously guard their liberties, to be eternally vigilant, to be involved, and to be moral, no matter which exact viewpoint we adopt, which would be either zero government or very minimalist government based on some guidelines and rules. And despots and thugs have always tried to upset the rules of God, the moral compass of law-abiding individuals or self-governed individuals. We got to strive towards that self-governing idea and that rejection to look towards government for everything. That's where we need to work together, and that's where it starts, huh?
Absolutely. We need to get rid of the state. There is biblical justification for this, by the way, Sam. You'll remember when Christ goes out with Satan, or actually Christ is in the wilderness, and Satan comes to tempt him after the 40 days that Christ has fasted. And Satan takes him up to the top of the high mountain and says to him, look around at all the nations. And the word there is very interesting in Greek. It means government. Okay, it's the word that is used for government. Look around at all these governments. I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. Now, you can't give something you don't own. And you'll notice that Jesus does not dispute Satan on who owns governments. He simply says, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay, so Christ himself is acknowledging Satan owns worldly governments. In fact, this is what we should expect, since Satan always counterfeits Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ is the true king. Naturally, Satan would counterfeit that and have worldly governments. You can go back to the very first sighting of government in the Bible to see how much God despises it. In Genesis, there's a man named Nimrod. Just look up Nimrod and see what the Bible records about him and the utter disgust in which God holds him. He was a mighty man in the earth who went out and preyed on those around him. If you read the Old Testament, you'll read many condemnations of various governments for their predation of the helpless and vulnerable, because that's always what government does. And Sam, your point about your being blind and how government prey on you, absolutely. That's what government does. It preys on anyone who is vulnerable and weak in some way. And we all are, okay? I have my vulnerabilities. I may be able to see, but I'm vulnerable in many ways, and so is every other person on this earth. We all have our weaknesses. We all have moments in which we're helpless. Government has a sixth sense for finding those out. I'm always interested, Sam, in the way that the TSA treats handicapped people, okay? They are absolutely savage. story after story of the TSA zeroing in on somebody who is physically weak.
Yeah, they don't do that to me, though, because I mock those people at every turn. I got a historic pattern of going to the TSA, huh, Kurt? I broadcasted live through the TSA checkpoint one time, Becky.
Mm-hmm.
I literally ran my cell phone device that was connected to the radio through their scanners and everything. And we were live on the air. I've done that one time. I demand female friskers. If they're going to frisk me, I'm not really for anybody touching my body but my wife. And nevertheless, if it's going to be one of two people, I'm going to at least have a female do it, right? So I demand a female screener, and I go there. I've also been known to really attack them on a variety of issues and stuff like that. I have a fun time with them every time I go.
That's excellent. If everybody did that,
these people would be stopped tomorrow.
It would stop tomorrow. I think an even more effective solution, though, would be if everybody just quit flying. I think for about a week, airlines function on a very slim profit margin. They would not be able to tolerate a hit like that. So however inconvenient it was, if Americans just got together and said, you know what, the week of March 23rd, nobody's going to fly. The TSA would be out of business tomorrow. The airlines could not withstand that, and they would pressure Congress. The ideal way to do it would be about 6 months in advance. Just announce it 6 months in advance. Okay, in February of this year, February 14th, Valentine's week, nobody's going to fly. And if enough people took that vow, the airlines would pressure Congress to get rid of the TSA tomorrow. But Americans, being the weak-willed namby-pamby that they are, cannot fathom a world in which even a minute worth of inconvenience could win them more liberty. So I don't look for that to happen. But
all right. Donald Trump is in the news saying some crazy stuff, at least the Republicans so think. And I don't believe that Donald Trump is a real candidate. I don't believe he truly believes in his views. I think he's playing the spoiler. I think there's games going on. The rich and famous certainly coalesce together for their agenda. So I think he's kind of running around talking about issues, pointing out the maybe true issues in many times, but pointing out kind of the crazy uncle in the basement idea. That way they can back away from it and they can jettison Donald Trump and the issues that he brings up. I think it's all kind of by design. That's just my humble opinion. However, I want to get Becky's take on Donald Trump as well. He is saying a lot of the right things. I mean, he is talking about, hey, we can't be ran around by illegal immigration. Now, the debate becomes, hey, should we have a big old wall? I don't think so. The debate rages on, and he brings up all kinds of issues that there's a grain of truth in all of them. But I also think the stick and the carrot's there, too. Quick pause. Becky Akers with us. Liberty Roundtable live.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Two revolutionary new novels available now, written by Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold. That's one of them about Benedict Arnold. Do you want to know the truth? There's some twists and details you may not be aware of in history, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe in the facts? Do you want the truth? Are you interested in real history? All right, Abducting Arnold, Becky Akers. The next one, incredible story, Nathan Hale. It's called Hailstorm. It's about Nathan and his stance against tyranny, his unbending desire to stand for the truth, even if it costs him his life. Incredible novels. They're novels because it makes for a great read, but the facts are genuine and true in both books. Incredible right now. Look on Google or search anywhere you want. Becky Akers. Hailstorm, or Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold. All right, there you have it. Kurt, you want to chime into this discussion? You know, how can we create accountability and freedom for us all? And I think it starts with a personal moral life. I think it starts with doing our very best and trusting in God for the rest. I think it starts with Americans getting together. They, as Becky wisely said, if we wanted to use our greater numbers and shut down the TSA, we could get it done in a week. She's right as rain. And that's what it's going to take, is our greater numbers to rein in out-of-control, belligerent, extreme, to the ultimate government that's violating every law. They're rogue agents for sure. We've got to rein them in, and a good moral people with their greater numbers is the only way to get it done. But they got to first understand correct principles, and that's what this broadcast is about. Kurt?
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And, you know, I can say that it, at least in the history that I'm aware of, there have been governments, and I gotta admit, like Becky has said, they are, well, very much the exception, but there have been righteous, correct governments that have treated the people correctly. And in fact, I'm even aware of a king who basically served his people without getting paid. And so you just don't find that much in history. The fact is, typically, it's done like she says. And the average individual, when they get a little power, that kind of thing, they just kind of go crazy with it. And the beautiful thing is, when the people participate and they remember that their rights that they have come from God, the American system is certainly one of the best, if not the best, to point out in all of history.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So, there's a fine balance. But I think either of you adopt, though, Becky, we have so much to work on. We got 90% of the government to get rid of first. And the only way to really rein that in is good, honest, moral people standing together with our greater numbers. Without that, hey, we're not going to get it done.
Oh, absolutely. It's like Ben Franklin said, if we don't hang together, we'll assuredly hang separately. And this government, like Nazi Germany's, like Stalin's, is descending that same path of totalitarianism. At some point, it will be rounding up dissidents. At that time, if Americans do not band together, you're going to find that the truth that Martin Niemöller articulated when he said, you know, they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist, so I didn't say anything. And then they came for the fascists, and I wasn't a fascist, so I didn't say anything. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to say anything. Okay, so anybody listening, even if you profoundly disagree with Islam, when they start rounding up Muslims in this country, that's going to happen. When they start rounding up, we all need to get out there and protest. We all need to say, you can't do this. How do I know they're going to round up Muslims? Because they've already rounded up people who use drugs they don't like. That is nothing but political incarceration. Those people are political prisoners. Nobody said anything, okay? When they round up other people who have not hurt anyone, they have simply disobeyed a bureaucrat, such as an illegal alien. Ooh, the bad words, illegal alien. And everybody jumps, okay? These people have done no crime. They simply disobeyed a bureaucrat's dictate that they can't walk over an imaginary line on the ground. And yet Americans stand and cheer when these folks are rounded up, persecuted, harassed, tortured, okay, held in jail without medical treatment for serious conditions like cancer. They die there. Okay? Yet Americans cheer. This is sickening. This is nauseating. If we stand by and watch a government so callously, in our name no less, so callously murder people, what are we going to say when they start rounding up Muslims? What are we going to say when they come after people like Sam? Are we going to stand by and watch them haul him and Kurt off to jail?
Well, they're going to say Sam's a little whacked out. You know, he believes in that Constitution. Not only that, him and his wife are a baby factory, for crying out loud. I mean, they think they can just doesn't he know how that happens? And they'll go on and on with their sarcasm and manipulation of God's law, never mind that multiply and replenish the earth has never been rescinded. And they'll go on and tell you how evil I am and how I'm an environmental destructionist and I stand against everything good, and my poor woman's just downtrodden barefoot in the bedroom of the kitchen, and there's no hope for her because I'm such an evil white man. They'll just go on and on and on and on about their lies and hatred perverting the truth of God. Isn't that really where the heart of it all is?
That's absolutely what is going on. And Americans need to wake up and realize we are living in a police state. And the only way we're going to take it back is by standing firmly against it, not waiting until its tentacles ensnare us or someone we know and love, but protesting now as those tentacles are getting other people that we don't know and usually hold in contempt. Okay, I know there's a lot of hatred out there for Muslims. That has been engendered by the federal government with its ceaseless propaganda against them and their religion. Their religion is a false religion, absolutely. There are some Muslims that are not good people, but you know what? There are an awful lot of Christians that aren't good people either. There are an awful lot of Jews that aren't good people either.
But we believe the whole American ideal was to let people worship however or what they may, and there should be no law against a man's conscience or his belief.
And not only that, but Thomas Jefferson defined tyranny as forcing a man to pay money to a government that then uses that money against him in his best interests. Okay, he put it much more eloquently. But that is essentially what the federal government is now doing to Muslim Americans. They are taxing all of us, including Muslims, and they are using that to fund the propaganda the Department of Homeland Security churns out. Okay, anti-Islam propaganda. This is so heinous. What would all of us say? Sam, what would you say if the DHS was emitting propaganda against the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
They already are.
That's true.
They already are. What I would say is it's evil and wrong. The Department of Homeland Security is in bed with the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yep.
And they're attacking people like me. They're attacking the Mormon Church. They're attacking the World Conference on Families, which the Mormon Church is part of. They're attacking all of us, and it's going to get worse.
This is the very definition of tyranny, according to Thomas Jefferson. So at what point are Americans going to say, that's enough, you can't go any further, okay? If we don't stand up soon, it's going to be a situation where we're having to revolt from the concentration camps. And I can tell you from my reading of history, that's a whole lot harder to do.
And it ain't pretty as we go through it either. Will Jesus Christ win in the end? Absolutely. The only question we have to discuss is how our eternal vigilance will relate to safety and security and stability until the Lord comes, or the lack thereof due to immorality, and how hard of a time, how much persecution we, the Christian people, genuine Christians, will be forced to go through, right?
Well, Sam, the foundation for that is already not only laid, but they're building on it with the decision from the Supreme Dorks in favor of sodomites and their, quote, marriage. All right, that is nothing more than a direct swipe at the Christian and any other religionists who take things seriously about marriage, which would basically be most of the world's religions. Almost everybody upholds the sacred nature of marriage between one man and one woman for life. Okay. Again, Sam, we walked right into this. Okay. Americans tamely ceded control of marriage to the feds in the early 20th century. Remember all the miscegenation laws and the requirement in the 1950s? I know this is really big, about being tested for syphilis before you could get married, before the state would deign to issue you a license. What an insult. Your wife might have been a whore, sir, and we're going to find out for you right now. Let's get some blood there, lady. And men stood by and permitted this? Okay? I mean, how emasculating. And yet there wasn't a peep. Nobody's saying, well, that's for our good. That's to protect us. Okay? We ceded control of marriage to the feds a long time ago. We are now reaping the consequences of that profane and blasphemous action, because marriage belongs to the Lord.
You're right. It was also a racial debate, too, where they wanted to basically use government by force to deny certain races certain things, and it became a very racial manipulated entrance into marriage as well.
That's correct. In the late 19th century and early 20th century, there was this hysteria against blacks and whites intermarrying, okay? And so once again, people, probably well-meaning at the time, stepped in. Well, we know better than you individual couples know. We're going to make this illegal, and we're going to give the feds unconstitutional power. There is nowhere in the Constitution that federal government is empowered to control marriage any more than it is empowered to control immigration. Neither of those powers in the Constitution, okay? So all you limited government people who love the Constitution, perforce, must be against the government legislating on marriage or the government controlling immigration, including, quote, illegal immigration. And I'm really insistent on this, Sam, because I find that so many limited government people are absolute hypocrites.
We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Becky's got some points. Check out her columns on the net. Look for Becky Akers, and we'll have her back. We always do. She's insightful. She's intelligent. And she can hold her own, that's for sure. You got to love it. All right, check out her novels as well, Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold. Becky, thanks. We'll chat soon. This nation shall endure.